is the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Balanta. Another neighbor testifying at the George Zimmerman murder trial, and he's saying something different than what other neighbors have said on the witness stand. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
An eyewitness named John Good, who's a neighbor of George Zimmerman's, and he says he was called by the prosecution, but he may have ended up helping the defense a bit because he says he saw what looked like a serious fight between two men we now know to be Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, and he said he saw the lighter-skinned man, Zimmerman, on the ground, and the darker-skinned man straddling him and punching him MMA-style, mixed martial arts style.
President Obama was alive in South Africa, but he said he's not sure that the neighbor visited Nelson Mandela. His ex-wife, Winnie, thanked everyone today for their support.
We are dealing with a very difficult situation. You can understand our emotions.
President Obama says that he does not want to be mutually exclusive. What it's going to be like in the Western U.S. this weekend. ABC News says you can be the heat.
Hydrate early. And do extra hydration, maybe a coconut water, something like that, early in the morning. And you can hydrate throughout the day. Because if you don't do it before, you can get to touch yourself late in the day and you're well past going to dehydrated.
Some of the temperatures are expected in California, Arizona, and Nevada. Some could snatch a climb record high.
She admitted to using racist language, leading Walmart to steal food, Caesar's Casinos, and the Food Network to end their deal. Target to sell her cookbook, crocs, and pans, set to buy on Thursday. And so did Home Depot.
Suitable for all investors. Fire the stock broker and hire yourself. I'm Larry Levin, and I've been on the trading floor for 23 years. I was one of the biggest traders in the S&P. I'm also the president of Trading Advance, a leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional day traders. Now, for a limited time, I'm offering one of the trading techniques I use to make $1.9 million for free. Get started right now by calling 800-288-0092. Email address on my voicemail, and I'll be mailing my free trading techniques and reading the editor's market report at no cost to you. This is the very information I use for my course.
I was getting ready to retire.
All over. Coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Oh, it is Friday. It's Friday here in the Valley, here in the Ohio Valley in Youngstown, Ohio. And it's not hot up here. It's getting hot way out west, though. Here we're broadcasting to you live on WSOM 600 AM. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends in WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio. And on the Internet at Tracy and Friends at Blog Talk Radio. Or Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. Either way, you'll get it. And we want you to tune in. Tell somebody to call in. Give us a call here at 330-781-9600. And this is Open Line Friday. You can say whatever you want to say, talk about whatever you want to talk about. And until that happens, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. The unlimited line number is 1-347-945-5229. Well, watching the Trayvon Martin trial and knowing the Sticks, hey, wait a minute. I didn't really bet, but when Sticks made the bet, I'm scared of Sticks. I ain't going to mess around. He bet a steak dinner that there would be no conviction in the Trayvon Martin trial of George Zimmerman. And after seeing the last couple of witnesses, where do you want to go, Sticks? Where do you want to go? Because I think this guy is going to walk with how the witnesses talk. I understood all of what happened now. And to me, the basis of the case is this right here, is that the man kept following him. It doesn't matter to me who hit somebody first. It matters to me that he kept following him. And as he kept following him, he more or less precipitated the confrontation, because Trayvon finally turned around and said, "Why are you following me? What are you following me for?" Mr. Zimmerman did not say, "I'm block watch and you look suspicious." He didn't say, "I'm block watch, it looked like you were lost." He didn't say anything of that. He said something else smart, and a fight ensued. I say that the fight was precipitated by the following. It doesn't matter who threw the first punch, because Trayvon still doesn't know who this guy is. And I say that he turns on him and tries to beat him for following him and more or less harassing him as he walked down the street. How do I get harassment out of that? I get harassment out of that because the person is being followed. He's obviously being followed because it came face to face from across the street already in this whole thing before they came face to face a second time. On the second time, Trayvon confronted him. While Trayvon Martin was coming out of one of the apartment complexes after having run away from him, he could have said, "Hey, are you lost? I'm block watch." He didn't say any of that. he just stayed on the phone talking to them about how they get away with these things all the time. Get away with what? Iced tea and Skittles from the store? No, I'm not for it. I don't think it's a murder two charge. I think it's a manslaughter charge. But that's not what's before the court, I don't think. I don't think they can take it down to that charge. I don't know if the jury has that power or not. Somebody knows. Give me a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. And looking at this other case that I really can't understand, and that is the football player. What in the world is wrong with this guy? How stupid do you have to be to where you have a $40 million contract and you still out gangbanging? $40 million. You don't sit out there and gangbang anymore. One of the youngest guys that came out of inner city school was LeBron James. And 334, you're gonna be hot. 1 second, I'm just gonna make another thought here. LeBron James, who was raised by his mother, who you can't tell because it looked like his mother was raised by him. He's the adult there. And I'm really tripping on this. How in the world do you still game banging with a $40 million contract? 334, help me out before I go off early, man. Help me out.
I don't know what to say about that one. I mean, $40 million contract. I don't need a $40 million because you give me league minimum. You can give me $85,000 a year. I'm probably not going to see. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just stupid. They say the average drug dealer makes $40,000 a year. So that's just
ignorant. His name is Aaron Hernandez, playing for the Patriots, New England Patriots. All of that money, he's a tight end for the
He was going to, had they traded him, he probably would be a highly sought-after guy. I mean, he wasn't no weak guy. I mean, this was a good, playing with Tom Brady, he probably could have went on the open market and drew some real, real dollars for him. They could have got some real money for him. So his next contract probably was going to be his big one. So,
well, he was
stupid.
This is beyond stupidity. This is beyond it. And now one of my chat room guys is telling me he's now they think he was part of a double homicide in 2012, and that may have had something to do with what this case is all about. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it could be. But $14 million, you're living in a house. You got crib for days.
You got Derrick Rose out throwing gang signs up. I mean, he's from Chicago.
You know what?
I mean, I guess he got to stay true to the hood. I mean, Allen Iverson, and I heard Stephen A. Smith say this one time. He said he had a friend of his he was with. He ain't going to say who they were, but he said that they had a friend that got in some trouble. He went to the bank, pulled out like $200,000, bailed a guy out, gave him a suitcase with $200,000 in it, and said, look, man, that's it. You're my friend. I love you, but that's it, man. I can't do nothing for you. So this is it right here. Said he just can't afford to have that type of, that's just crazy. Like, I grew up, I'm from the hood. Like, I grew up, I didn't have that type of, but then again, I didn't get this money at 18 years old, 22 years old either, so. But I don't know. It just didn't make any sense.
Well, I'll say it like this, that I certainly was never in a gang, although we had a couple little ones, you know, during the days I was coming up. You know, you didn't have them like they had them in Chicago and California, because you had, you know, the Blackstone Rangers of Chicago, and I forgot who was up in New York, but you had all these gangs back then, because these people, you know, you put them together in these little cubicles and neighborhoods where it looks hopeless. They make an existence out of it some kind of way. They will do it.
I mean,
it.
Even still with those guys back at the Vice Lords, started out as a community action group. These were good, positive
right.
organizations. And what was it, who was the guy over the CIA, FBI?
Hoover.
J. Edgar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
J. Edgar was like, his fear was of a black messiah. So they infiltrated a lot of these gangs and Black Panthers, and a lot of they did a lot of destabilization, which is why I can't understand why anybody can't understand the case for reparations. I don't care how conservative you are. You know, but the government facilitated a lot of destabilization of organizations, snitching, doing a lot of things to try to mess stuff up and make it fragment like it has been since then. But
oh, yeah.
He said the biggest fear was fear of a black messiah rising up. So that's what
mm-hmm.
J. Edgar Hoover said. This guy, for 40 years, five or six different presidents, killed people, did whatever he wanted to do above the law. And, you know, and it just goes unanswered. You got people still in jail because of J. Edgar Hoover to this day, just because they didn't believe, you know, and they weren't, probably half of them didn't even have too much, just by association. I actually know a guy that was a Black Panther that got out, and he talks about a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about it. I was well, like I said, I told the people that I definitely was well familiar with the original Panthers and what they were doing. A lot of people just don't understand that and what they were doing and how the government co-opted their programs after they destroyed the organization, because they started Head Start then and et cetera, et cetera. That was a Black Panther origination.
The thing that really gets to me now is, like, a lot of history has been forgotten. Like, a lot of it's just, you can't really read. You hear, you barely even hear about Black Panthers in history or ministers of defense. All they want you to hear about is Martin Luther King. Even they whitewash him. So you're really not getting true history. Like, when you say I had a history teacher tell me that nothing significant happened in Africa from Egypt all the way up until World War II. He said nothing significant happened. And I was like, well, we ran Europe for, you know, 700 years in the Moors. He acted like he had never heard of that. This is a history teacher.
He did not hear it because he wasn't taught that. Understand, when the people put the systems together to teach, you were not included, okay? you were not included. And so
they'll let you say that the guy, the first black guy, at least this is what they claim, to come to America, a guy named Estebanico, the Moor, the first guy that came over. They say he was a slave, which he wasn't. He was like a servant, but it was a little different back then. And you look at the history,
yeah.
And there is a lot of stuff with him as far as he had a connection with the natives of this country, like a lot of things, you know, but they call this junk pseudo-history when you say it. But you could go read the documentation. These different monks was writing letters saying that there are more. They referred to people as blackamoors. The Indians were, a lot of these Indians were dark skinned, just like us, black people. Like they don't, you know, this stuff is just just sitting out there. You have to really dig for it.
One day I'm gonna really be able to get into it, so we'll know where some things actually happened, because. Yes, there was everybody here when people got here. There was black people. There was white people. There were giants. And nobody ever wants to go with that one because it doesn't fit the narrative. But there were.
Oh, yeah. They found some in a cave in Arizona. I know exactly what you're talking about. I heard about that.
Not only that, the burial mounds here in Ohio. They found
giant
heads,
skulls and stuff?
12, the elongated skulls, et cetera, et cetera. There's more to this earth than what we are being told, and it's being done on purpose. But hold on, don't go nowhere. 773, am I crazy?
Well, I haven't read about that, you know. What I used to do when I was in a private majority white college, arts college, I used to go into the libraries and read about different European history. And then also I would look outside also of that and read different black history and other ethnic history. I think that's the only case where, you know, young people, they have to go outside of just what they're being taught in class and go to the libraries and learn about different histories and different ethnic people. But back to that case you was talking about, the Trayvon case. I heard that the expert said that that was Trayvon screaming for help on that 911 call. So
yeah, but
I don't
they
know
won't let. They're not going to let the expert speak.
Well,
it's
going to
purely be up. Yeah, they're going to let the tape happen. But to me, they've already proved that the Zimmerman was culpable here. But it's not good. It might not necessarily be accepted like that all the way around.
This is just like the OJ trial in that it's a lot of stuff that's up for debate that's kind of not open in the air. But it's clear that with all these white women on the jury, they're trying to really get him. They're trying to let him free, I think, because the number one person that's going to think you're a criminal would be someone who thinks they're defenseless against the big, you know how that works. So I think that's working in Zimmerman's favor that you have all these white women on that jury, because they're going to look at, they're going to paint this guy as a big black brute thug, you know, future criminal. And that's what it was. He's just a matter of time before he was going to be in the jail system anyway. So that's how they're going to paint it. And I think he's going to get off. If he don't get off, now, I'm not going to clap like they did something great. The man shouldn't have never, they shouldn't have had to go through all this. That really is not, it's not justice that he's been free this long, if you ask me.
Well, I agree. I totally agree with you.
A lot of these women are women that are locked the doors when they see a guy like Trayvon walking down the street. That's who they got on there. So it's not going to be a straight 100% guilty verdict. I just don't see, not all those people. I just don't see it. I just do not see it, especially after the reaction that a lot of African-Americans and Black Panthers and the media kind of ran with that narrative of black people being raped. You know, all of them out there screaming and ready, you know, trying to giving out addresses, stuff like that. People already kind of have a retaliatory mindset when it comes to that, when you're picking a jury. So I don't see them allowing it. Just on principle, I feel like it's going to be at least one of them that has that mentality.
You could very well be true, be right, Chicago, because I just don't, I don't know what's going to happen here. I think it's very clear. I would highlight only the points that they were talking, you know, that showed Zimmerman continue to follow him even after they came face to face one time. Zimmerman had every opportunity to say, "I'm block watch. Are you lost? Are you okay?"
And another thing, Jeff. And another thing, Jeff, was Trayvon's knuckles bruised? Was there any blood on the sidewalk? I mean, you know, they said Zimmerman was, you know, hurt in the back of the head. But you got to remember, this guy basically went home. So he may have made those self-inflicted wounds himself. Was there any blood on the sidewalk? Was Trayvon's knuckles bruised? I mean, you gotta look at that also. So I don't know what the prosecutors are.
And another thing with people that do security, my ex girlfriend stayed in an apartment complex. There was this off duty cop guy, and look, there were a few times where he got into it with people, and if he'd have got beat up or something happened to him, he would have deserved it. Because let's be honest, most police and law enforcement people don't know how to talk to people in the first place. So even if he you know, he feels like he's a cop, if he identifies himself as a cop, or not even a cop, as secure, whatever, white neighborhood watch, whatever, if he doesn't know how to talk to people and he treated that guy in a certain way, got into a shouting match with him, and it led to that, you cannot just say, okay, stand your ground. You just because you're doing neighborhood watch, or I disagree with that. I think you, first of all, stand your ground. If you'd have stood your ground and had not chased him, which we all know that's what you were doing, that throws it out the window. So we shouldn't have a case. We should not even have a case. This guy should go straight to jail. But that would be just too much like just, first of all, showing up and the guy's shot and he's unarmed after walking to the store, it is enough to go to jail. I mean, I don't care what nobody say. So, but as far as law enforcement, I don't really feel sorry for a lot of law enforcement people. Just because of how many people I know they done killed and choked to death out here and tasered to death. I really don't have no passion for them. Compassion.
He was doing security there for the longest, and he didn't know some of the blocks and streets where he was at. So that tells you right there also he was lying to the dispatch and the police. So, if he's been neighborhood watch there for the longest and he didn't know what blocks or the names of the streets and all that, he knew exactly what he was doing. He pursued the Trayvon. He knew he had a pistol on him. And you know, he provoked him.
And as far as the coon comment, I heard it. I don't know about it. I listened to the tape, and I can swear I heard him say effing coons. That's what I thought I heard him say.
I don't know if that was on this particular case or a previous one, because they have him calling in the 911 on previous times. So that could have been what you were hearing.
Even if he said it on a previous time, that's a character.
I mean,
that speaks to character.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. And the thing is the man was going to the store, went to the store, and went back. He tried to lose him, and he couldn't. And so he confronted him. 678, you're in the air.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in real briefly. I think the real problem with this case, and just let me qualify this first, was Zimmerman wrong? Yes. Common sense tells anybody that this guy was just way out of line with the whole situation. The problem with this entire case is, number one, the shoddy police work. Number two, the psychological background information has already been determined that it's inadmissible because Zimmerman actually takes medication for, some type of mental situation that he has going on. And what's going to make the conviction so difficult is the fact that the jury, due to the fact that there's no witnesses, the jury is being asked, based solely on the evidence, to reconstruct the events. Just like you guys are talking about the altercation. Now, whether it was an altercation, whether it was a scuffle, whether it was an actual fight, nobody really knows. And in regards to what the caller was saying, the only abrasion that Trayvon had that they found was on his index finger. I think it was on his left hand. He had a scar on his knuckle. Now, a scar implies that it was a previous injury that has already healed, as opposed to, say, an abrasion. Now, the officer that processed all of the evidence, when she got there, she said, well, it was raining, there was nothing on the sidewalk, and then when you look at Trayvon's body, it's nowhere near the sidewalk. And my whole thing is to get a jury to logically reconstruct this and put it all together so that it makes sense. That part of it, I just don't see happening.
Well, and where
that,
are you calling
that's
from,
all I'm saying about that.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Excellent, excellent. ATL, man. Got a niece living down there now. But
technically, I'm in Atlanta too. I'm not in Alabama, but
okay, good deal. Well, here, check this out. They do have a witness that says that he saw the scuffle, and then by the time he got close enough to see what was what, he saw Trayvon on top of Zimmerman hitting it. Well, that, and then he made a thing. It was a mixed martial arts type of thing, you know, because Trayvon is a wrestler.
Right.
Now, it doesn't make a difference to me. He never identified himself, one. He followed him, and after being told not to follow him, he followed him. After seeing him face to face, he never identified himself then. When he he came face to face with him the second time. He never identified himself. So
correct.
What are you supposed to do?
But Jeff, also, does he have the authority to use deadly force, given that this guy has not made it apparent that he has a weapon? Like, so you pull out your fist, and I pull out a gun and blow your brains out, and that's staying your, I mean, you get what I'm saying? I mean, I have a problem with that.
Well, see, here's the thing. If he was not doing anything and Trayvon came out of the dark and confronted him and he said, I didn't follow you. What are you talking about? Or, you know, and he had not been following him, then that's one thing. However, that's not the case here. The case here is he was following him, and as a block watch person talking to 911, but when he sees the young man face to face, he doesn't identify himself. That's the whole shooting match here. So, no, he did not have the right to use deadly force.
Well, from the tape, we can make it abundantly clear that he felt like he had I've got the guy that's been breaking in. Like, he's trying to do some detective work. This is him. This is the guy that's been doing it because he's walking with a hood on in the rain. But I got him.
That's the one. Walking with a hood on in the rain.
Yeah, I guess he did his fingerprints, and he can see his fingerprints from yards away and tell that that's the same guy that broke in somebody's house weeks earlier. So he got him this time.
Well, to me, the prosecution... Yeah, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say in addition to what you were saying about the witness said about the fight. Now, see, this is where the prosecution, and in cases like this, it always seems like the prosecution is just completely outgunned. I don't know why that always happens. I don't know why that is, but that's the situation. In the event that this person says, oh, yeah, I saw him on top doing this martial arts stuff, common sense should tell us, at that point, if you're on top of me and I have a gun and you're doing something to where I feel that my life is in danger at this point and I pull out a gun and shoot you, there's going to be forensic evidence on your body from that gunshot, which there isn't in Trayvon's case, which implies that there was distance between them. So logic tells me that, yeah, Trayvon could have been on top. Something happened. They both came to their feet, at which point Zimmerman decided, all right, you're not whooping my ass. I'm sorry. This is enough.
Oh.
You know, because he sounds like a very his whole track record, he's a weak-minded individual. And some people just can't take getting their ass whooped. That's just the way it is.
Hey, whoa.
Can't say the A word.
We're on
terrestrial, so. But
I'm
that's
sorry.
What happened. That's exactly what happened.
Some people can't handle, you know, getting it handed to them. And in my mind, I'm thinking, at some point, they both got to their feet, which is why they weren't near the concrete anymore. And at that point, Zimmerman just pulls out the gat and lets it go.
Well, then another thing you have to add into the equation, and this is my personal problem I have. If this guy is getting hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars sent to him for his defense, why would the parents stick with this cheap, you know, friend of the family lawyer? That's just the problem. I would have a superstar lawyer. I'm sure they got money sent their way, too. I would have a superstar defense team if I wouldn't have the next Johnny Cochran sitting up there.
This is the prosecutor. You can't hire a prosecutor.
Right.
It's the state. That's why it's that's why it's like that.
Well, who was the guy? Who was the guy that represents the family that speaks to the?
He's a family lawyer for the family, but he can't do anything until this is over. Then he'll file a civil suit against Zimmerman, and Zimmerman will be found guilty in the civil suit. But in the other things, this is going to be. Nothing you can do with that. So, you know, it's just like, I think rightfully so, O.J. Simpson beat the living daylights out of Christopher Darden and Marsha Clark, which I thought were the two worst lawyers I ever seen in my life. I mean, they were terrible. I'm
gonna tell you something. Why would Mark Furman be a hero though? Why is it Mark Furman, Sean Hannity? See, that's why Republicans lose elections. Because the guy that planted gloves and said all this N-word, this and that, is a regular on Fox News. And you wonder why you lose elections. You got a reputedly racist guy on your show. Stupid.
Agree.
He wouldn't have anything to do with my show.
I agree with you 1,000%. And we're getting ready to go to our little news break here and pay some bills as well. Call us online. Stand by. You're talking the afternoon with Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM on the radio dial and on WSOM on iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages talking to you about what's on your mind. Jeff and Ann Chair, see you right back.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A Mahoning County grand jury has indicted a man for trying to solicit sex from a 12-year-old girl from Sebring. Joshua Reynolds of East Oregon Avenue allegedly met the girl on the Internet. According to court records, he will be allowed to leave house arrest for his wedding, which is this July 6th. A man was found dead inside his home in Warren yesterday afternoon. A neighbor called 911 to report a foul odor coming from the home at 1003 Hemlock Avenue Southwest. A 56-year-old man's body was found by police officers. The man's name was not immediately released. The Ohio legislature has approved a state budget that cuts personal income taxes, revamps Ohio's school funding system, and adds new abortion restrictions, sending the measure to Governor John Kasich. The Republican-led House approved the $62 billion two-year spending blueprint yesterday by a vote of 51-43. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the Ford Focus offers quick, nimble performance, advanced technology, and great mileage. Lease a new Focus today with no cash due at signing. Another reason why Ford is the number one brand in Northeast Ohio.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown.
call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
It's avocado season only at Subway, and it all starts at breakfast. Try the hot and delicious bacon, egg, and cheese with avocado, or add rich, creamy avocado to your favorite breakfast sandwich. It's one tasty addition to any morning. Subway, build your better breakfast.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600. WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Where you at? Okay, my man, Atlanta, ATL.
Yeah, I'm here.
What is the field down that way? We do have a guy that calls in from Florida. But in Atlanta, what are they saying about this case?
Well, I mean, the case is clearly drawn along racial lines. Because as black people, we understand all across this country how the police operate and how things are done. So for the black community, you know, obviously that they feel that this is a slam dunk case, that Zimmerman precipitated the entire event, and regardless of what happened with the scuffle, he had no right to, number one, like you've been reiterating, he had no right to follow him. He had no right to do any of the things that he did, and it shouldn't even be an issue of a question of, you know, what happened during the fight, who started the fight, and who did all of this. And just to add a little bit to that, if I'm the prosecutors, especially after what happened with Trayvon's girlfriend, I'm calling that female police officer who processed all the evidence, I'm calling her back to the witness stand, and I'm returning the favor, because what I believe the prosecution needs to do, they need to show that, number one, Zimmerman broke all the rules of engagement, number two, that the police work was really shoddy, number three, I'm going to try to draw some conclusions to the fact that she handled this evidence in an incompetent way. They really let her off the hook. I think she was on the stand like Monday. And all the questions were very generic, and everything was easygoing. And, well, point this out to us, point that out to us, and is this what this is supposed to be? And that was it. And I don't think that they went after her as vigorously as they need to. Now, on the other end of that, naturally, the white community, I think they're kind of split myself. I think it's kind of a down-the-middle thing where, you know, you have white America who believes in law enforcement, and they're pretty much going to stick to the letter of the law in which, you know, they got to stand your ground. We have that here in Georgia as well. And I talked to a lawyer about in Florida about the stand your ground law, because I believe that the way that law is put into place is that too much of it is left up to a perceived threat as opposed to somebody actually threatening you. Now, he says in Florida, if you feel that your life is in danger, then you have the right to defend yourself to the highest degree possible. However, he did agree with me. He said, yeah, it is a matter of perception, because I can perceive that you're a threat and you might not have a weapon, and if I'm a licensed gun owner, you know, I can shoot you. And I think that that's where the whole gray area with that law comes in. But then there's an aspect of the white community also that thinks that this guy was just way out of line. So whereas, as the black community, where we're not split, I think here there's a fraction of them that believe, you know, Zimmerman was just dead wrong, whereas a lot of them are just going to stick to the party line in terms of, well, this is how our system works, this is stand your ground, the kid attacked him, so he had every right to shoot the kid.
By the way, are you involved in as a lawyer or anything in law enforcement?
No, I'm not, sir.
Okay. Very well spoken. I appreciate you being here. The thing that I'm seeing here, like I said, and that is the dynamic, is going to be another throwback to O.J. Simpson trial, where nobody cared anything about how the evidence was gathered or not. They're not going to consider that. But I'm going
right.
to say this. I want to get the forensic report on the trajectory of the bullet.
Right.
I want to know where the bullet was found, if it was ever. Okay? And whatever that trajectory is going to tell me what position they were in when that bullet was, when that gun was fired. See,
well,
that's what I'm talking
the thing.
About.
Here's the thing. There was no exit wound. So basically what happened was that the bullet hit him, I believe it was, under the nipple, and it pierced, it went into the lung and pierced his heart, which is where the bullet was lodged. So that lends credence to the fact that more than likely with him using a 9mm, he wasn't at point-blank
right.
range.
That's
why I was alluding to the fact that even if there was a scuffle, at some point, both of these guys got back to their feet.
I pretty much agree with you there, because that's why I want to see that trajectory, because it's going to tell me whether they were standing or one was on top of the other, or you know, and whether he shot up or not. Because I believe, you know, because a 9mm really is not that powerful, you know, and. Because you see what happened to that bullet. It never left the body.
Right.
Never left.
Right.
Hold on a second. Local caller. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, local caller.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, to me, man, that's just a matter of common sense. When he called the police, he called the dispatcher, rather, and they told him not to pursue that boy, that's the end of it. He pursued that boy. Clearly, he pursued that boy, and it was not a matter of him being in a position of self-defense. I mean, to me, they just undermined it. Self-defense is when somebody is pursuing you, and you're in fear of your life. You know what I'm saying? He pursued that boy. It's obvious he pursued that boy. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
To me, they just undermined all of that, man, and it's going to be there's going to be some repercussions about that if it don't come out the right way. I mean, that's just common sense, man.
Well, I agree with you, and I hope that either way it goes that there's not any crazy repercussions on this, because there's nothing you can do about it but go back and fight it on appeal some kind of way or some other thing. I don't know. I don't like how they charged him, because I really believe this is a manslaughter charge. I don't think it's a murder two charge, because even though he precipitated the confrontation, I don't think his intent was to shoot anybody. I think he just wanted to be the hero and catch the guy that he thought was breaking into apartments.
Well, when the girl was talking, she said that when he was walking away, the guy walked up to him and said, "What are you doing here?"
No, that's not how that happened. That wasn't a testimony. The testimony was that Trayvon said, "What are you following me for?"
Right. Well, something like something. Yeah.
And then he said, "What are you doing here?" Which was the wrong response. That response should have been, "I'm block watch. You look like you're lost."
Right. Now in reality, what it should have been, I'm gonna tell you what it should have been to me. It should have been the fact that as a result of him pursuing Trayvon like that. You know, if Trayvon would have killed him, it should have been a matter of Trayvon defending himself. Here you is, you walking down the street, and you look back and you see somebody following you, man. You know, and you ask the person, "Why are you following me?" And they keep following you.
Right.
That is grounds right there to defend yourself if they get up on you close enough. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I agree with you too.
So to me, they just undermined everything. I'm looking at the stuff on TV. I'm like, what? question to that. I mean, she's a 15-year-old girl. She said there is no question to that. There shouldn't be no question to that.
I agree with you.
It just makes me sick to just see stuff like that. And common sense, when they told that man not to pursue him, and he did, you know what I'm saying, everything that happened as a result of that was his fault. Simple as that.
Hey, man, I appreciate the input, and tell your daughter she's a smart girl. Atlanta, go ahead, because I got a couple more coming in.
All right, and the last thing that I wanted to add, and I'm going to get off, is that what I found very interesting about this, in the state of Florida, because it's not a capital punishment, because it's not a murder one charge, that's the reason why they only have 6 jurors, and 4 of them are alternates. And the thing that people need to understand is that the jurors don't know who's going to be picked to deliberate. That comes after the closing arguments. So what they're going to do is they're going to let all 10 jurors sit there as if they're going to deliberate. Then they're just basically going to do a lottery, because right now the jurors' names are B29, A31.
Yeah.
And they're just going to call off 6 of them, and then those 6 are going to go in and deliberate the case, which clouds the issue even more. But I just wanted to throw that in. I appreciate you taking my call, my brother. You guys have a great show, and I try to listen as much as I can.
Appreciate it, and hope you continue.
All
724,
right,
you're in the air. Thank you. Well, no, you're not. Hold on.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, you know, you and I disagree on this topic, but there's a lot of things that are being said that this ain't true. First of all, dispatcher is not a police officer. Had a police officer said, and he was talking to a cop on the phone, the police officer says, stay in your car, people have a thing. Dispatcher told him to stay in his car. He's a watchman. He was just concerned. There were break-ins there. You know, so he followed the kid. That happens all the time. You and I talked about that. We've been followed, you and I, DWD. I've been followed in the department stores or the malls around, you know, Youngstown, East Liberty, you know, Beaver, PA.
Mm-hmm.
This is stand your ground law says that you can't stand if you feel your life is threatened. Now, you look at those pictures, Jeff, and you'll see that Trayvon Martin, other than being shot, had no marks on him. This man, Zimmerman.
I don't blame him for not having any mercy on him. I don't blame him for it, because you know what? That man
has punched
a
guy. So, Jeff, that is what we're telling our kids.
I don't care.
If somebody follow you, you can punch him? That's not how it works, brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, you know what I'm going to do for
that's
you?
A,
I'm going to look
assault.
Up. No, it's not. I'm going to prove it to you.
If you punch somebody, Jeff, for following you, that's assault, brother. That's, there's no,
no
that's
sir, it is no, no, sir, it is not. No, sir, it is not. Because when you're following somebody and you're not law enforcement and you don't identify yourself as a watchman and you don't have on a badge and a red light on your car or a yellow flashing light, he doesn't know who the heck you are.
Our kids is following somebody, and that somebody turns around and punches him in the mouth, you're going to be arguing the same thing, that he punched him in the mouth because he was black. You can't punch somebody and then jump on top of them and beat their head on the concrete, brother. That's assault. And the
listen
way the law is down there, now, instead of rioting, if me personally, I see him getting off on this criminal case, and I see a O.J. Redo. They'll get him in the civil court, and the guy ain't got no money, so they won't get anything other than a verdict.
Well, he's got plenty of money. They're sending money for his defense left and right.
The lawyers will heat that up. Either way, Jeff, I mean, the guy, and here's the thing, they're making this a black and white. Since when have you ever, are they calling this former Patriots player a white Hispanic? No, because it's not sex. This was a boy, and you remember what was happening when all this comes out. And the reason, what you're saying, you want the ballistics report and all that? They have that, Jeff, and if you go online, you can find that. And that's why the original prosecuting attorney, who has since been fired, decided not to press charges. the bullet entry wound and where, you know, where it was at all coincide with what Zimmerman said. He was getting beat up.
Once again, I don't care about – I don't care anything about I want to see the positioning still. But all of that still doesn't mean anything because we're getting ready to go to break here in about 20 seconds. So forgive me. I'm not cutting you off, but you can stay on, you know,
right.
If you can.
Okay, I will.
It matters this. He followed him, and when Trayvon came out from behind the house after trying to lose him, he said, he's looking right at me. He had the opportunity to say, I am Block Watch. Are you lost? What are you doing? He did not. He precipitated this situation and the confrontation. Be right back.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
This is Derek Hart, General Manager of Staff Right Services. We excel in providing recruitment and placement for a wide range of skilled job candidates on a temporary, temp-to-hire, or direct-hire basis. When businesses need assistance finding reliable employees or individuals need help finding a steady job, they turn to us. To learn more about how StaffRight can help you, visit us online at staffrightservices.com.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
The all-new 2013 Ford Escape is the hottest SUV on the planet, and Fairway Ford in Canfield has a great selection of the
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. A witness for the prosecution may have helped George Zimmerman's attorneys prove he shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. ABC's Aaron Katursky is at the trial.
John Good testified he saw George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin fight.
I yelled out, "What's going on? Stop it."
Prosecutors suggested the fight was less than life-threatening for Zimmerman.
"Did you ever see the person on top slamming the person on the bottom's head on the concrete over and over and over?"
"No."
But Good said he saw Martin beating Zimmerman mixed martial arts style.
"I mean, you've watched MMA fights enough to know what ground and pound is, right?"
"Sure."
From there, Good called 911. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Sanford, Florida.
A young murder suspect and an even younger victim in Texas.
An intense search had been conducted for 5-year-old Sita Osman after he disappeared while riding his bicycle in his own Fort Worth neighborhood. His body would be found behind a vacant house, and it showed signs of trauma. Now a 13-year-old is in custody facing the juvenile equivalent of a capital murder charge. Investigators believe the two boys had gotten into an argument when the older child, who already has a criminal record to his name, beat the younger boy to death. Jim Ryan, ABC News in Dallas-Fort Worth.
A 65-year-old gay man in Pennsylvania says this week's Supreme Court ruling striking down DOMA does nothing for him and his partner, so he adopted him.
The Commonwealth has not approved, and we don't think that they will approve gay marriage in our lifetimes. We moved forward with an adoption.
The New Yorker is outing Ernie and Bert on its cover next week. Sesame Street isn't commenting, but has said in the past the puppets do not have a sexual orientation. Western states in the grips of what could be the worst heat wave in years. ABC's Ginger Z in Las Vegas says
they're actually telling people, do not touch pavement with your bare feet. So they're putting out a warning saying, no bare feet, because you will scald and burn instantly the bottoms. They actually had to do skin grafts on a man who tried to make it across the parking lot.
This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Director James Cameron is being sued by a British artist who created some iconic album covers. ABC's Dave Packer explains why.
He created fantasy landscapes and album covers for bands including Asia and Yes. Now, Roger Dean says his artwork was copied in the making of the 2009 film Avatar. Dean says director James Cameron's crew studied and referenced Dean's art as they worked on the movie, specifically floating mountains, stone arches, and markings on flying creatures. He's suing Cameron for more than $150 million. Cameron's lawyer called his client the most original and creative person in the motion picture business today and says he doesn't need to copy from anyone. Dave Packer, ABC News.
An MBA grad hopes advertising pays. Scott Stewart is taking his job quest to the street. He's standing on a corner in Tucson, Arizona, handing out resumes. He says he's gotten more leads in a week than he's had in the last 2 years, but he's still unemployed. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Ladies, when was the last time
the new Subway $4 lunch is for everyone. Choose from tons of their fully loaded 6-inch subs, like the spicy Italian or meatball marinara with all the fresh veggies you love, plus a 21-ounce fountain drink, all for just $4 all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.99%, APR 4.16%, that payment could support a $282,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $215,000 mortgage. That's $67,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance calls. For cost information, equal housing lender license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, Sweet Jack, he's sweetjack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks.
We just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush. Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back here, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair here at 8 minutes the hour of 1 o'clock. Hope everybody's having a great lunch out there. And we here are broadcast live, WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio as well, and at Tracy and Friends, and Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And make sure you get somebody to tune in, because we're going to try to make sure that we engage all the things that most of the talk show hosts around the country will not talk about or won't talk about it in the way that we will get down and dirty and talk about it. Unlike many people in the country, I have to agree one thing Eric Cole to say. When we talk about racial things, people get scared. You don't need to be scared. Just, you know, just talk things out and figure things out. I wanted to read one thing down. This is the law down in Florida. And I'm going to read just the beginning of the statement, because this isn't the actual law. This is just telling you what this law says. It says, Florida law draws a distinction between misdemeanor stalking, punishable by up to 1 year in jail, and felony or aggravated stalking, punishable by up to 5 years in the Florida State Prison. Misdemeanor stalking requires the stalker to willfully, maliciously, and repeatedly follow or harass another person. And then it says up top that it doesn't matter how short of a time that this is in, it's just like the stand your ground law, in that if the person feels threatened, you're stalking them. Now, this was absolutely stalking. This was no doubt about it. He came face to face with him one time before they had a second confrontation and a fight. He failed to identify himself. So at that particular moment, Trayvon Martin has stand your ground on his side. Had he beat Zimmerman to death, he would have been not guilty, because the man followed him, kept following him, and did not identify himself. What say you, 724?
than charge a man with stalking. But Jeff,
Somebody follows you, Jeff,
and you're wrong, because if your kid is following some guy and a white guy, and that white guy turns around and pops your kid in the mouth and starts beating him up, you're gonna charge. You're gonna want that guy charged for assault. And that's what Trayvon did. But he picked a fight with the wrong guy. And here's the thing. The last caller was talking about having a riot and all this. You know what you should be rioting about in our African-American community is black-on-black crime. This was a white Hispanic, if you want to listen to CNN. But this had nothing to do with race. You want to riot? And I'll join you. I'll smash up all kinds of stuff if you want to riot about the black-on-black crime, because 90% of the time, if an African-American is shot, it's another African-American doing the shooting.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. It's 95% of the time, okay?
Right. So let's talk 95. About that. Let's talk about George Zimmerman. And then, I'm just offering my opinion. The six people on that jury is going to make up the thing. My humble opinion.
You're right.
Is he going to be acquitted? Shady case. I mean, the guy's got all the evidence points to what he's saying. Now, again, Trayvon's not here to tell you what happened. It was only the two of them. But there are other witnesses, Jeff, that talk about Trayvon Martin standing over this kid, or this Zimmerman, MMA style, whipping him. And the evidence shows that.
But once again, I don't care. He followed him and didn't identify him. That doesn't mean anything to you, right? It's okay. Okay. So somebody can just get in behind you on a dark street. You're walking. You don't have a weapon. And they can start following you, and you're not going to feel unnerved.
You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to avoid the confrontation. I'm not going to walk up to somebody.
Which he tried to do. Which he tried to do. He ran.
He started inside and out of the building. And then he confronted Zimmerman. And who punched who? I mean, he punched Zimmerman.
Look, that does not matter.
Jeff, come on. So I get this right. You're advocating our black kids, our African-American kids, that if they get followed and they're to knuckle up, is that what you're saying? Is that what you're advocating?
Not necessarily, but here it is again. Come on, Larry. Larry, you're demagoguing here. No, sir. That's not so.
I'm just saying you're advocating.
I'm telling you, if I'm walking down a dark street, I'm on my way back to a destination and I'm not there yet, and somebody is following me every turn I make and everything that I do, and then I try to lose them and they still follow after me, that means they mean me harm in my mind. So therefore, I'm going to avoid the situation as much as possible, but if I can't avoid it, I'm going to confront and do something.
And, Jeff, if I'm not
you're
mistaken.
Go ahead, Sam.
And Jeff,
If I'm not mistaken, Jeff, he was, 30 seconds away from his home, Trayvon? So
his father's home,
if
yeah.
If someone is following you and you close to your home, you going to want that person to follow you all the way to where you live?
Oh, no, that's my point. Mr. Zimmerman could have avoided this whole thing by identifying himself. He did not, and I don't know why he did not. So that means
you want Mr. Zimmerman, Jeff, you want him to be held accountable for something he could have avoided. Why are we holding Trayvon Martin to the same thing?
Because
had he not punched the guy in the nose, knocked him to the ground, and then beat the living crap out of him, then he may still be alive. And the stand the ground. Life is feared. You don't have to back up and say, hey, I got a gun. You can defend yourself.
Look, I don't know if his father's house was in front of him. or he had to get past Zimmerman to get to his father's house. I don't know that, okay? So I got to look at that whole scenario again to figure that one out, because I should have paid attention to it, and I did not. But if Zimmerman is between him and his father's house, or he has to come back out from behind a building, he still has to go past the Zimmerman, who was following him and was told not to. We don't need you to do that.
Zimmerman.
Now, he doesn't have to stop.
Have you seen the 3D graph?
If he's acting, I saw the whole thing. This is my thing. If he's acting as Blockwatch, doggone it, then identify yourself. If you're not going to identify yourself, get the heck off the street. You don't have any business doing that. You don't follow nobody like that. Nobody.
You
follow a raccoon. Follow a raccoon like that and tell me how you come out of that one, and you don't have a gun.
Jeff,
he'll tell your behind from limb to limb.
Are you advocating somebody, if situation happens like, again, one of our African-American youth is being followed, you're advocating for them to turn around and punch that guy in the face?
I'm advocating that if you are Blockwatch, identify yourself if you're following somebody. Ask them
if they do not punching that man in the face and beating him to
I advocate protect yourself first at all costs. That's what I advocate.
He punching him and then starts beating his head up off the ground. Because if he really,
I don't care what he does to him,
if
he doesn't identify himself with
your house. And that's what happens in that instance when you advocate violence, and this guy's got all he's got is his fist, the other guy got a gun. We'll be talking about
I'm gonna name you some victims by naming the person that killed them, by coming up and following them on the street and getting next to them. And then drugging them, taking them back to his apartment, killing them and having sex with the body. His name was Jeffrey Dahmer. You don't follow me or else I'm taking you out. That's the bottom line. You can't do it. It's against the law. It's called misdemeanor stalking to just follow somebody and not say anything or harass them. It's considered that. This is what bothers me about people. They want to completely negate the law. The law was broken by Zimmerman. Zimmerman broke the law.
The law was broken, Jeff, when Trayvon Martin turned around and physically assaulted the guy.
No, sir.
Because you can't do
Trayvon
that.
Martin,
just because somebody's
Trayvon
following
Martin,
you.
Trayvon Martin has the right to walk down the street without being harassed.
Jeff, that's the bottom line.
That's where the law was broken.
He's acquitted. Zimmerman's acquitted, and our people riot in the streets. They're rioting for the wrong reason. Like I said, if you want to riot for black-on-black crime, I'll be with you, breaking every window that's out there.
You're absolutely correct about that. But wait a minute. Local caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to say to that last caller, when I called in and said that there should be repercussions, I didn't necessarily mean to riot.
Right.
But Jeff, what you're saying is true, and I'm trying to get the caller to understand also. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some bad people in neighborhoods, and sometimes people should watch them. But if somebody is following you, and like you said, Jeff, if he would have at least identified himself as a neighborhood watch, that probably would have squashed it right there.
It'd be over.
Devon probably would have came back and said, well, sir, I'm just going to my father's house. I'm not getting in any trouble. Watch me go in my father's house. And 9 times out of 10, if that guy was a neighborhood watchman, he probably knew his father anyway. He could have watched him walk in the house. If he would have identified himself as such, and like you said, Jeff, then that probably would have never happened. And also, if you back an animal, I'm not calling Trevon an animal, but any human being, any being has the instinct to where if you back them up in the corner, they're either going to start fighting back or they're going to ball up.
They're going to do one of the two things. But mostly they're going to fight you.
What I'm saying to the caller is, you know, with all due respect, when he followed him like that, you know, when he followed him, because you can tell that he followed him. he followed him for a while, too. He had to follow him for a while because he was hiding behind buildings. The guy kept following him. So maybe he got him up, he got up on him, and the boy was in a position to where as if he had to defend himself. That's what it sounds like to me. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. And Larry, all I'm saying is this. The law was broken when he followed Trayvon and didn't identify himself. Right. Had he identified himself, there would be no law broken. But because he did not identify himself, the law of stalking was broken.
And you know something? And if you listen on TV, with their open arguments, you never once heard them say anything about it, unless I'm mistaken. You never heard them once ask him, did he bother to identify himself? You never heard them. Not one time did they say that.
And that's what's that is really bothering me.
That bothered me right there.
Yeah.
Things that should have been said was not said from the beginning. Unless they put that in the closing arguments, then, you know, I won't have nothing to say about it. But to me, you know, it's just all wrong. And I'm not trying to incite no riot by a long shot.
Right. I understand what you were saying.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to get off the phone, man. I'm going to listen.
Thank you so much.
I know.
77, I mean, go ahead. Whoa. Go ahead. 773? 412.
Well, Jeff, I said that too. You're absolutely right. He didn't identify himself. And if I'm not mistaken, he was close to his home where Trayvon was living. And, I mean, it's a lot of stuff here that the prosecutors basically should be able to get Zimmerman on. You know, I don't know, you know, what the prosecution is really doing, but I mean, from the tapes and, you know, the setup and all that, definitely. I always said something mentally was wrong. I don't think this was, to me, a personal or a race issue. I think
he
something was mentally wrong with him, and if the caller called in and said he was on medication, then that goes ahead and tell you right there. Something was definitely mentally off about him. So, you know.
Well, he's got problems. But let me get to my man here. 412, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, good.
You know, I think you're absolutely right about the basically stalking or him just by him following him. I think it nullifies his position. Or invalidates his position, I should say, of standing his ground, because once you start following somebody, that's unlawful, you know. So and the law says, yeah, you can use deadly force where you are lawfully allowed to be, and so he was clearly in an unlawful position. So especially like you said, he didn't declare who he was. So I completely agree with you with that, but I just want to say after. Because I had the call after hearing your last caller, or the one guy basically saying Trayvon,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, he just, does it give him the right to just, you know, bash his skull in, whatever. And it's just apparent to me that this case is bringing out the worst in both black and white people, you know. Because the thing about it is that what has been historically been the case with the mainstream or white America is that they do not respect other people's humanity, and this is a classic case of that, because instead of saying, you know, if roles were reversed, it would be a no brainer, but
that's right.
But we're allowed to be stalked, and you know we're automatically suspicious. We're always under suspicion, and so. You have a scared boy that is walking around and being followed, and nobody respects this boy's humanity. And so even if, you know, okay, and we can't discount the testimony of his female friend who said that, you know, whether or not we believe it or not, she said that she heard Trayvon say, "Get off of me," so right before the phone hung up. So, you know, if we don't discount that, then it's obvious that he was defending himself. And so especially if you consider the fact that even in Zimmerman's account, he said that Trayvon noticed that he had a gun. So, of course, he's going to try to bash his head in at that point, because what else would you do? The other guy has a gun, so you're going to try to inflict the most pain possible to put this guy out. But nobody, and that's just common sense. The other guy has a gun, you don't, you're in close proximity. You can't run because he has a gun. He's going to shoot you. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to do whatever you can. But people, they don't respect Trayvon Martin's humanity. It's just self defense.
Because he was an African American child, inner city child, that had a little bit of a record, had a history of sometimes smoking dope, this to that and the other, which is not admissible in this case into the case, and it shouldn't be, because you know it has no bearing on the situation. You know, what has the bearing on the situation is only one thing. Who did the following and why? And why didn't he identify himself when they came face to face twice? He had the opportunity to defuse the situation, period, and he chose not to. Now, I'm not prejudiced against Zimmerman. I could care less. It has nothing to do with prejudice in my mind. Not at all. So I'm just saying to you that my concern is I'm looking at this law that tells you that there's misdemeanor stalking and there's aggravated stalking in Florida. And I'm saying that he, Zimmerman, was guilty of stalking, as it says here in the I just had it here a minute ago. Wherever it tells you about that if somebody maliciously follows you. Well, after he saw the man, they faced each other face to face, and then he continues to follow, even after the dispatcher says, "We don't need you to do that." He told the dispatcher who he was. So why the heck didn't he tell Trayvon Martin who he was? So that's my point. I would hammer that point over and over again. He had every intention of wiping this young man out. And that's not what I believe. That's not what I believe. I think he just was stupid. But the thing is I think this is a manslaughter charge, but it's because I don't think that was his real intent. But if I was that prosecutor, I'd be nailing that one in, because he was stupid enough not to identify himself. Go ahead, Alex. Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right again, but you know, people may disagree with me, but I think that George Zimmerman is a racist. He exhibits clear racist tendencies because the point that you just brought up, identified himself to the dispatcher, to the police or whatever,
right,
but not to Trayvon Martin, which is exactly what I'm saying. He himself did not respect Trayvon Martin's humanity either. He didn't even respect him enough to tell him who he was. But he expected Trayvon to, when he approached him, to look at his shoes and just answer whatever questions he had without any, you know, authentication of his position in that community. And so to me, that's just classic racist behavior, that he, you know, you see this black guy and you're supposed to be able to question him. He's just supposed to answer your questions and you know, without, you know, just.
You're not supposed to talk back or question him.
Yeah. That's what he was expecting. And that's what he wants.
I agree.
Which is classic racist behavior. I'm. There is no doubt in my mind that George Zimmerman is a racist. No doubt in my mind. So, you know,
I have to agree with you on that. And It's unfortunate that it's that way. Very, very unfortunate. And like I said, even with that, I don't think it was his intention to kill Mr. Martin. I think that he intended to be the big hero and catch him taking something. And that's what he thought he was going to do. But if you're going to do that, once you have the confrontation, when the young man said, "What are you following me for?" his answer should have been, "I'm block watch around here. What are you doing in here? What are you doing around here?" But all he just said was, "What are you doing here? It ain't your business what I'm doing here." You know? Go ahead. Yeah.
I know what. If he's convicted, he's going to be in trouble when he gets to prison because the skinheads ain't going to acknowledge him. The Mexicans, they're going to be like, "He ain't one of us." And you know the blacks, man, he's going to be in trouble.
No, I agree with you. I think that they'd have to send him someplace special.
He's showing white.
No, just like Jeffrey Dahmer. Hey, but you know what? I got one of my friends of Tracy here, and he just happens to be a lawyer, and I don't know whether he was reading up on the DOMA laws yesterday.
Actually, I did last night.
Very good.
About 3 o'clock this morning, I was reading.
Oh, you stayed up late. I could have called you. I was in the sleep lab, not sleeping.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Well, here goes Mark. So now there's Jeff and Mark in the air chair. We're going to have some fun for the rest of the time that we can hang out together here today.
Yes, Friday afternoon. Why are we here? We should be out doing something.
We need to find Tracy and go where they were in that picture. I think that's what it's a very incriminating picture. I made copies of it and kept it in case he tried to scrub her face.
Yeah, we can blackmail her.
That's right.
What do you think we could do with that? I don't know. Nobody should have that much fun when they're on business.
On business. Oh, man. We go when she's here, we'll corner her about that picture, everybody, and we'll let you know what it was. But this is real interesting, that we're talking about this trial. And I don't think that the defense's witnesses helped them a whole lot, except for the fact that they still substantiate that Zimmerman followed the young man and never identified himself. I don't think that's necessarily enough to prove murder, too, but you can surely make your case based on that, I believe. Go ahead.
I have a little bit of a different take on this. I think, you know, you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday off the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my feeling is that this is a manslaughter case.
Me too.
And I think the thing that bothers me the most is that this entire incident was politicized from the beginning. And when that happens in a criminal case, you know, both sides of the issue, I think, lose a good deal of credibility. It was painful to watch that 19-year-old lady testify yesterday.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for her because she didn't ask to be put into that position.
No.
And that just wasn't good. But you look at the prosecution. I've got a couple of pet peeves in life, and one of my pet peeves is over-aggressive prosecutors who overcharge. That gets to no good. One of the questions that we had yesterday that I apparently found the answer to by watching some television last night is that the lesser-included offenses can be considered by the jury in this case. But I think
if that's the case, it's probably going to come in as manslaughter.
And I think that the prosecution ought to be a little bit ashamed of themselves, because listening to the conversation that you were having after I got here, nobody's going to ever really know the true facts of what happened there. I mean, you've got little glimpses as to what was going on. And when they overcharge, they run the risk of losing. I mean, everything.
I agree. Yeah,
and,
you
and,
do.
And I don't think that's it's not good for the public. It certainly isn't good for the victim. to somehow score political points by looking like a tough guy or a tough woman, whoever the prosecutor is down there. I think they ought to be charged with what they had. They knew what a bad witness this lady was going to be yesterday. You can't pick your facts. You can't pick your witnesses. You put your best foot forward. You go with what you got and try to get the crime to fit what the facts are that you have, notwithstanding what you believe might have happened. Because might have happened is called reasonable doubt.
Right.
And then what happens is if the jury suspects the prosecutor was trying to put something over on them,
mm-hmm.
they run the risk of losing the charge you should have been charged with in the first place.
I agree.
Acquittal would be a disaster.
I agree 1,000%.
There's two facts they can't run away from here. The first fact is he called 911 and they told him to back off and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the second fact is the back of his head was bruised.
Mm-hmm.
His nose was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there were physical injuries to Trevon's face or body outside of the gunshot. Those are facts that are indisputable. So somewhere between those two things, you know, I think is you're going to find the manslaughter charge. And I'm concerned that they're running the risk of losing the whole kit and caboodle
here.
Well,
with the first lady witness that they had on there that obviously lied, they knew she lied about the events. And so because she said one thing long time ago, then changed the story, you know, and then she had this Facebook page talking about convict the killer of our son, Trevon. And you, come on, you know, if you're a witness and you knew you were a witness then, you know, you can't be posting nothing like that.
You know, what else they did, Jeff, which really, really, you know, the local authorities were going to give this guy a pass. It took the state of Florida to come in to say, why aren't you charging
this
fella?
Exactly.
So you're seeing all this stuff, you know, across the board. I got a name for it, but you can't say it on the radio. and you know, there's people, there's a dead teenager here and a man who's on trial for his life, and both of them deserve better than they've gotten from how this whole thing's been handled from the beginning.
I agree with you that. Like I said, I think it's man one, and that we'll see something come out of that. But South Kakalaki, you are on the air. South Carolina, don't give me dead air here. Where you at, man?
Maybe it's hot down there. They're getting a drink of water.
Too hot. Yeah, too hot to talk down there. Jeff, I called in to support, but I'm not talking because it's too hot. All right, man. You know what? Oh, man. Local caller, you're in here.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Hey, go.
Pardon?
No, go ahead.
I didn't hear too much, bits and pieces. I had some errands to run, but now on one of the shows, I heard that there was a thump. Does that ring a bell? Thump? That word come up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I was thinking maybe if one was on the other, under the other one, maybe it's when they flipped. Maybe that was the thump they heard. I haven't heard that mentioned yet.
The thump that he probably heard was when Trevon Martin sucker punched him. When they came face to face for the second time.
Well, and I agree with you. He should have identified. He should have said, watch. What did you say? Neighborhood watcher.
That's all he had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all he had to say. This guy's just stupid. And then our eagle eye down in Florida, Alex, said that more or less he got a. He's had problems like this before. They have him on calls calling people by racial slurs on previous 9/11 calls that he's made. And so therefore, that's going to be make him, you know, very, very hard to defend per se once they get to that. It doesn't.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
HLN, Vinny, I can't think of his last name. They brought up the point where if his head was slammed against the cement, there was no blood. Even it just sprinkled that night. There's no blood, according to what I heard. Did you hear that too?
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
I heard that also.
No
that,
blood
that,
where?
No blood.
On the cement. Okay.
Well,
and there was. They said they didn't find any blood either. I mean, even if there was some washed, it would show up from the raindrops.
Did the bullet go through him, or did it land in him? Did they have to extract it?
That's what I was asking, because I wanted to know the trajectory of the bullet, because that would tell me what positions they were in, and that would have to be a forensic. Go ahead, Alex. I hear you come in.
So, you know, I just want to say I think that if they have to take the bullet out of his body from a 9mm close range, depending on where he hit him, but I've known of people being shot by 9mm, and see the bullets, it's coming at such a velocity, and the bullet is so narrow that it goes through you.
Right through you.
I've known people who have gotten shot at about 10 feet away. And, three, four times and people, they would be at, like, say, an ATM machine, and they're getting robbed, a guy's charging them, and they've shot three, four bullets, and the bullets just went through the guy, because it was, like, some,
right.
some crazy, drugged-up homeless guy or something. So,
what?
Let me just make this point real quick. So, that thing, that bullet should have went through him. But if you were looking at it live this morning, the trial, where Trayvon Martin's body was after being shot, it was not
hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I had one more point.
Just solicit sex from a 12-year-old girl from Sebring. Joshua Reynolds of East Oregon Avenue allegedly met the girl on the Internet. According to court records, he will be allowed to leave house arrest for his wedding, which is this July 6th. A man was found dead inside his home in Warren yesterday afternoon. A neighbor called 911 to report a foul odor coming from the home at 1003 Hemlock Avenue Southwest. A 56-year-old man's body was found by police officers. The man's name was not immediately released. The Ohio legislature has approved a state budget that cuts personal income taxes, revamps Ohio's school funding system, and adds new abortion restrictions, sending the measure to Governor John Kasich. The Republican-led House approved the $62 billion two-year spending blueprint yesterday by a vote of 51-43. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair and Mark at my side here. We're going to try to extrapolate everything that we've taken in here today and all the arguments. And
we got to figure, all they had to do was call us, Jeff. We would have told them
what to do. We would have told them what to do. They don't listen to us ever.
If I give them my phone number, I send it out. Nobody listens. Nobody calls.
I sent emails, everything, man. I don't understand this. Alex, you were speaking just before we got off here, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM, on your radio dial. Go ahead, talk, my friend.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you looked at the live video feed of the court in the court today, they showed like a reenactment of how Zimmerman was found after Trayvon Martin was shot. And Trayvon Martin, his body, he was laying face down in the grass with his back, his feet facing the sidewalk, not
the
his
ground.
Head. So it was like he wasn't even near the pavement. And, you know, Zimmerman's story was that he was banging his head into the pavement, which, you know, prompted him to shoot him. But if he shot him where his body was at, it's not possible for him to be, for him to have been, you know, slamming his head into the pavement. So I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would he have, being he had a gun on him, would he have been able to have a stun gun? It wouldn't have killed him, probably.
Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't say that to do that either. You know, you're doing block watch. And you got a right, carry your gun. Because if you run into somebody dangerous, you don't want a stun gun, and he got a real gun.
The whole thing is he was told to stand down or go back, and he didn't.
Well, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I watched too much Law and Order. I'm going to assume that they're going to be able to determine whether the gun went in from the stomach to the back, as opposed to the whether it was shot in the front or shot in the back.
Right.
If he was shot in the front, it would leave credence to the story that he was on top of Zimmerman. I don't know. I'm going to assume that all of this will come out in the trial. I don't have the advantage of being able to watch it during the day or watch the feed, but it shouldn't be this hard.
Too bad it was so dark. There should have been more lights. Also.
Well, I mean, it was a neighborhood. I mean, you know, if they don't want lights like that, because I was upset when they put street lights in my neighborhood. I didn't want them. I like, to have that country feel where you don't have to have all the lights, and I'm out far enough to have to enjoy it. But everybody in my neighborhood wanted lighting, so we pay extra now. So like $75 a month extra. I hate that.
I hear it's going up more.
Yeah.
Yeah, electric's supposed to go up more because of Obama.
Well, I don't know about that, but, he's going to raise up everything and more. But one thing that I'll say is this, is that whatever the deal, if they raise that up, I'm cutting down the light pole. The light pole is going down. Oh, man.
I don't understand this block watch thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only sort of half followed this. Was George Zimmerman, was he an official designated watch block guy, or was this something that
He was part of the block watch they had formed in their area, yes.
Okay.
So he that's what I'm saying. He was okay while he was following, but nobody wants to admit that there is a problem with following somebody down the street. Okay, there's a problem with that. You are breaking the law. It's called misdemeanor stalking in Florida. And once they came face to face, where he said, "Oh, he's looking right at me." Once they came face to face like that, he should have said, "Hey, I'm block watch. What you doing?" He did not.
Was rape mentioned? Wasn't he afraid he might have been raped, or was that Gentile's?
Well, I don't think that he was afraid he was going to be raped, but he might have been afraid he was going to be beat or killed. He doesn't know what.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who this man. Huh?
All the more of that. I said that right there. All the more should help us. If Trayvon was here, would help that side of it. because he was afraid. I mean, I can't get it out of my head. All he was going for was Skittles and iced tea, and he didn't come back.
Well, that's the tragedy of this whole situation, and that's the dynamic of America as well. But as my a friend that I disagree with said earlier, Larry, black on black crime happens every day to the tune of over 80, 90 people throughout the United States. That's kind of crazy. Doesn't make sense.
Road rage is getting out of hand.
Now they're doing their thing. The world is getting a little angry because we got evil leaders everywhere. But hold on, unlisted caller, you are in the air. Talk to me. You have called in on my 1347 line, and you are an unlisted number.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you talking to me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just calling in with a comment, and as being a mother of a young black male, there's enough blame really to go around on both sides. The only difference is that, you know, a young man lost his life behind it. There had been problems in the neighborhood, and they had, you know, burglaries. Living in the inner city, you know, it's good to have someone watching out and, you know, someone looking, because basically people only care about themselves and, you know, where they stay at. You know, they can be right across the street and see something going on at your house and won't report it. But, you know, I think it could have turned out differently if both, you know, had identified themselves and Trayvon as, you know, it not being his neighborhood. You know, maybe just, you know, letting him know, you know, why he was there.
Say that again, that last part.
I said, you know, maybe since it wasn't his neighborhood, you know, maybe he just could have, you know, told him, you know, why he was there. You know, I mean, I guess there was a chase at some point and everything. I mean, instead of going through, you know, everything that happened, you know, would have turned out differently, I think, if both people had have identified themselves.
Well, I mean, it's not on Trayvon to identify himself to anybody that's a stranger.
No, not so much. You know, maybe I know what you're saying, but with that not being his neighborhood and with things going on, I mean, you know, black men, young black men, they have to be more careful as to where they go because, you know, they are profiled. And by being so, you just have to be more careful and be more aware.
Well, that's where I would say this is that I think that this particular case is going to have to change precedences throughout America, because I have the right to walk down any street that I want to unless it's a private street. Okay, if it's a public street and I live in that area or my relative lives there, I have the right to walk it. Okay,
right.
And so therefore,
I'm not saying that you don't, you know, have the right to walk it. It's just that, you know, Mr. Zimmerman, you know, not taking sides as to, you know, who was right or who was wrong. It's just that, you know, I do give him credit for being out there and looking out for his neighbors because, like I said, I mean, things happen in the inner city every day and people can be outside and nobody sees anything.
So it's okay to you that he can call 911 and say these coons get away with this stuff all the time?
No, I'm not saying that. That was prejudice, something to say. there had
well,
been.
Well, let me, but doesn't
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that he was basically looking out for the area, you know, his community where he was staying at. That's all. And I'm just saying, people just they don't do that, you know. I mean, people can see someone walk out of your house or something, and you know, hey, you're gone with it. Nobody cares. You know, it's a shame though that the young man lost his life.
Anybody else want to take a crack at that one?
I've lost a son, you know, and I wouldn't wish, you know, losing a child on anyone.
Does anybody else want to take a crack at that one?
Jeff, it's very simple. He pursued him, got out of his truck, pursued Martin, and twice he provoked him. And I thought it was just once, but it was twice. As I believe, he was 30 seconds away from where Mr. Martin lived. He did not, like you said, he did not identify himself. So, and he had a pistol. So, I mean, this is common sense.
Intent is clear to me. That's I agree with you 1,000%.
Well, I don't think, I mean, I don't believe that he just, you know, left his house thinking, you know, that I'm going to shoot a black man. You know, I mean, I don't think that, you know, was his purpose when he left his house. But like I said, with, you know, the instances, I guess, that had gone on, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, he was maybe a little bit more watchful or a little bit more cautious than he would have been, you know, ordinarily. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, he was right. He's definitely not, you know, it's like I said, sad that the young man lost his life. So.
Hold on. 330-831, you're in there. Go ahead, Mark, whenever you want to.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to make a comment about stand your ground. Has anyone said that Trayvon stood his ground?
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Not in the case. Not in the case yet.
Okay. Well, that's
how I feel.
Right. I feel if I walk down a street and a man approaches me and he doesn't identify himself and I think I can whoop him to get away, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stand my ground. And that's what Trayvon did. And sadly, as I hear some of the callers calling in here, it breaks my heart. Because it's, what if it were you? What if it were you walking down a street anywhere and someone who decided, you know, carrying a gun, and I'm all for gun carrying. I mean, I think people should be taught, you know, I really do. I've called in about that. It's not about gun control. But
nope.
This has certainly gone from, you know, a racist situation and also guns. And that's not it. It's about freedom. You should be able to walk on the street. Now, the young man was out at curfew, past curfew. And as a parent, that would concern me if my young man would be outside. And, you know, but sometimes they are, you know, parents don't always hear it until after they figure it out. You know, Jeff, you're a parent too. Of course, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes teenagers don't always tell you that they might be at a friend's house or they might be somewhere.
Right.
And I realized he was at his father's house or he was on his way to his dad's house. And I've heard this, you know, the situation for Trayvon. But I think Trayvon held his ground. I think he stood his ground. And I think that his constitutional rights need to have somebody recognize that he deserves to not be questioned when he's not doing anything suspicious, not be attacked, not be harassed, and not be followed. That's just wrong. And that never comes out in any of the conversation. It just comes out black and white and guns and you know what I mean.
No.
You know, everybody comes out with this other stuff and they don't think about it. What if it were you? You know, I just can't, I don't know. I don't know why it's such a difficult situation. It is clear to me that the aggressor was Mr. Zimmerman. I don't care if he was the night watchman. I don't care if he was the night policeman, the sergeant. Don't care. I think he needed to, you know, be more responsible.
Tracy and Frank.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about this some more on the other side of the break. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Vellata. One of George Zimmerman's neighbors helps his defense.
There's a black guy down. It looks like he's been shot and he's dead.
John Good saw the confrontation between Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman.
It seemed like a tussle.
He told prosecutor Bernie De La Rionda he saw the lighter-skinned man on the ground and the darker-skinned man straddling and striking him.
Were they going like this?
I could not hear that, no.
Could you hear this?
No.
Prosecutors suggest the fight was less than threatening to Zimmerman's life. Though it was serious enough, Good went to call 911. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Sanford, Florida.
Still unclear if President Obama will visit Nelson Mandela when he arrives in South Africa this hour.
President Obama declared he doesn't need a photo op with Nelson Mandela here in Johannesburg. In fact, he told reporters on the flight to South Africa, the last thing he wants to do is be in any way obtrusive. His message to the whole Mandela family... profound gratitude, he says, for Mandela's leadership all these years. Ann Compton, ABC News, Johannesburg.
Student loan interest rates will double on Monday.
Speaker John Boehner says Senate Democrats are to blame for the failure of Congress to stop the doubling of some student loan interest rates. The speaker reminds colleagues that the House passed a plan to prevent the big rate hike. The Senate did not. In a memo to his colleagues, the speaker accuses Democrats of using the issue as a political football.
ABC's Vic Ratner. The so-called pop mom in court today in New York. ABC's Carlos Betcher is there.
45-year-old Andrea Sanderlin, the notorious Scarsdale pop mom, accused of running a multi-million-dollar drug dealing operation from a Queens warehouse, pled not guilty in Brooklyn federal court today to charges of drug trafficking.
For using a racial slur in the past, Sears, Kmart, and Walgreens are now also phasing out Paula Deen's products, but her cookbooks are still sizzling. This is ABC News.
Hey, folks, Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 10 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 10 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 10 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 10 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 10 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 10 years, one entire decade, till the year 2023. Today's super low initial rate on our Amazing 10 Mortgage is all the way down to 2.99%. APR 3.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com. The Amazing 10 Mortgage. One more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
A father and daughter dance at the Richmond County Jail. ABC Steve Osunsami reports.
All right.
The sheriff here says he's reminding these men why they need to stay out of jail by inviting these little girls to the city lockup to come dance with their fathers. Dressed up, you forget they're serving hard time until they break down into tears when their daughters come bouncing past the steel doors. The dance only lasted an hour or two, but in this short time, in this small room, these young girls had real moments with their fathers. Steve Osunsami, ABC News, Richmond, Virginia.
Edward Snowden's father acknowledging his son broke the law by leaking the NSA surveillance program, but he says he didn't betray his country. And Lonnie Snowden says that he thinks his son is being manipulated by people at the WikiLeaks website. Snowden, now hiding in Russia, is charged with violating U.S. espionage laws. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
The new Subway $4 lunch is for everyone. Choose from tons of their fully loaded 6-inch subs, like the spicy Italian or meatball marinara with all the fresh veggies you love, plus a 21-ounce fountain drink, all for just $4 all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh.
Go ahead, Swift 1-2.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Calling Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent ASAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
Well, why don't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We really need jobs.
We just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush. Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Mark hanging out here on a right now it's a brightly lit Friday afternoon. Man, you know, you said something about having to do some work over the weekend.
I'll tell you what. I'm not 20 anymore, man. I can't do this stuff. I get too old. I want to lay down and rest.
No, the feeling, man.
Yeah, get me a box of candy, and I'm going to sit down on the couch. I'm going to watch TV.
I sat up. Wait a minute. I had the worst night of my life here. I had to go to the sleep lab, okay? So now I'm sitting in the sleep lab, not sleeping, and I'm saying, what's that all about? Oh, man, I can't take it.
Hey, Jeff.
But, hey, you got to do what you got to do these days, you know? You got to do what you got to do. So what's new, man, before we get back into this conversation? It's only 10 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock, so we have a little bit of time here.
A little bit of time. I'm sitting here just looking at the news over here. I'm kind of going through stuff. I had a really bad morning this morning, and so I'm looking at the stuff over here. More people are dumping Paula Deen. She's out of Sears, Kmart, Walgreens.
Oh, wow. You know what?
But her books are selling like hotcakes.
She's got a little bittersweet thing going.
I mean, come on. This woman cooked with, you know, I watched her show because everything started with a pound of butter.
That's the way it should
be,
isn't it?
I love butter. You know, I like bread and butter. Bread is the vehicle that delivers the butter. Which is why I like crackers. Because you eat crackers and you put butter on crackers or breadsticks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got the salt and you've got the butter. You don't taste the crackers.
Right.
And it's... my wife made this chocolate icing. Oh dear! Start with the pound of butter. It was just outstanding.
Oh man! I understand what you're saying, man. I like butter, too. I like cooking with butter.
Now I'd eat a piece of chocolate cake with icing.
South Carolina, I'm coming to you in a second. Just hold on, because you keep coming in and out of here. You must be busy on a Friday. But anyway, this is something else. Paula Deen, now, I'm a little torn on this now. I'm not ever for anybody losing their job because of what they say, unless their job entails providing fair and equitable treatment of people in the public.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, if you are the mayor of a city and you say these types of things, then I think you should, you should be out of there.
I don't know. Here's the thing on this. This is a lawsuit.
Right.
It's from a white, disgruntled employee.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's true and what isn't true.
Right.
We do know she used the N-word 20, 30 years
ago. She admitted it.
Yeah. Now, I went online and I looked at the tweets that the young lady who testified yesterday deleted,
mm-hmm.
and they have them, and she uses the N-word liberally through it.
Mm.
I'm looking at hip-hop artists,
mm-hmm.
and you've got millions of children listening to vile, misogynistic, violent, racist comments coming through the hip-hop artists, and nobody says anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing here that a woman who's in her mid-60s from the South used the N-word 25 or 30 years ago? I'd be surprised if she didn't use the N-word 25 or 30 years ago. That's how they talk down there.
Pretty much.
So she should be destroyed? I've said lots of stuff in my life that I've regretted. If people hold it against me, I'm dead in the water. I think she's handled this whole thing all wrong. I don't understand this. I don't understand the hatred towards successful women. And I'm looking at three in particular, Paula Deen, Martha Stewart, and Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
all of which have received the ire and the attack of media, sponsors, people, and I'm trying to figure out what they did that they earned this, because I can name about 50,000 others that probably deserve it, and these people didn't.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
What's going on in your office, man? You better call 911.
I got four little boys in here.
Whoa.
And,
how old
I'm
are
about
they?
To pick off a belt.
don't say that. Don't say that.
Man, there'll be police. There'll be a SWAT team at your place right away.
They'll be right here. But anyway, look, man, I the whole thing with Paula Deen, to me, I see it as a First Amendment issue, and that's what's gonna happen. And if we censor her, then what are we gonna do about everybody else that's done this? I mean, you're going to have to go back. You're definitely going to have to go back and censor folks like, Ice-T and Ice Cube. Eazy-E Records will be definitely taken off the market. So why does she get a pass? And just to show you the hypocrisy, Senator Robert Byrd in an interview made those same comments, used that same terminology, and they gave him a pass and never said anything. And this is a former head of the KKK.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Byrd was the head of the KKK, wasn't he, for a while? At least down where he was from?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was a Grand Wizard.
Yep,
Grand Wizard, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't count.
Which gets
Why
back
doesn't
to
it
my
count?
Point. This is geared towards women. I don't know. They have and we talked yesterday. You told me, Jeff, that Paula was a Democrat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and I'm going to hazard a guess. A lot of people who are making all this fuss, they didn't know she was a Democrat.
I'll guarantee
either.
You they didn't know
she
was a Democrat.
She's a Southern white woman who's successful. They don't like her. And look what they did to Martha Stewart. Now, this woman was charged with insider trading. It turned out she didn't do the insider trading, but they went after her for lying to the FBI when she said, I didn't do it. But what do they expect? They threw her in jail for what, 18 months?
Mm-hmm.
What a crock. Look at these jackasses in Washington right now who are lying in front of Congress left and right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see anybody going after them.
Well, not enough people going after them because...
Jeez, look what they did to Sarah Palin. I see it as a woman thing, and I think the National Organization of Women should be up in arms over this.
They're not going to do it because if they consider you a conservative at all, you are hit because that's what this press has been taught in through school, et cetera.
How come they're never going after Oprah? How come they're never going after Oprah or after Fonda, Jane Fonda? How come they're never going after
Oprah? Please.
Huh?
Because, you know, this world is judged by political correctness. And I can't help but think we had a discussion about race yesterday afternoon when I was here, and I was thinking about that last night when I got home. You know, I just want to lead my life and have people leave me alone. And I think that's going to be pretty common for everybody. They just want to be able to have an opportunity to better themselves and lead their life and leave them alone. And yet you've got a press that is insisting on dividing and fueling this kind of racial stuff, which is horrible. Because all you do is just piss everybody off.
Right.
Hey, Mark, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen if you went home today and you received a letter in the mail stating that someone is suing you because 25 years ago at a party. They heard you use the N-word, and so they're going to sue you for taking all your money away from you. What would that do to you? What place would that put you in?
I would be so angry. I'd be angry.
Bust the gasket.
Well, those who know me know I have a temper.
If that happens, Mark, you shoot them because you'll come out better if you shoot them.
You shoot them better.
You'll come out better. Because if you get convicted of that, you're dead for the rest of your life. At least you'll only do 10 to 25.
Hey, you know, it's
for a crime of passion.
Everybody needs a little bit more Don Hannah in them.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir.
My speech could be really colorful when I'm with my group of friends. They have come to understand that my speech is colorful. But, if I were Paula Deen, I would have stood up and I would have told everybody what to do. You know, in no uncertain terms. You know, those of you who are listening that aren't from this area, Don Hannah was a political boss here in town for years and years and years. Old style political dynamo.
Yes, he was.
And he didn't take anything off of anybody.
And a brilliant lawyer.
And a brilliant lawyer. Drove his car to the post office and went and had a drink. So
yeah, he was drunk when he hit
the car to the post office and went and had a drink. So when the cops came, they couldn't give him a breathalyzer.
Right, because he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm here to calm my nerves.
That's right. Great, great, great guy.
Don is brilliant.
He wasn't afraid to think of, and he was criticized for having local Democratic politicians hire people that they knew and people that helped them politically. And I think the local paper here, I think it was the local paper, one of the other news outlets, went out and attacked them and said, how is it that you're hiring your friends? And Don Hannah's response was, who do you want me to hire? My enemies. Of course I'm going to hire my friends. You know, you just got to reach a point where you don't take this stuff off of people anymore. You got to get some backbone and say, this is what, you know, you can believe what you want, but this is the way I am, and not get pouty with Matt Lauer crying. Man, get some backbone and some spunk and stand up for yourself.
Well, this is true. And that's in all instances because... It's crazy how it is. You can't say anything. You
they can't say anything to the negative of anything that they want to push a liberal agenda on. Go ahead, Alex. I hear you coming in.
It's amazing how you know that. But
all that noise in the background, man.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
Good.
All right. You know,
I'm getting ready for my bottle of VO when I leave here today.
I got a bottle of Jim Beam Red Stag waiting for me.
Tracy's not here.
This whole
apology.
This whole Paula Deen thing, I have to say that it scares me, and here's why. I think that if you can indict somebody from words that they said 30 years ago, it just shows just the level of just sensationalism, irrational sensationalism we've come to in this society. Because nobody, I can tell you, you know, I'm 32 years old, and I'm not the same person that I was even 10 years ago. And so, you know, someone who is, I think she's in her 60s, indicted for something she said 30 years ago, she's clearly not the same person. And if you are the same person that you were 30 years ago, then you are a failure in life, really.
Hey, Alex. Alex. They didn't even indict Lyndon B. Johnson, and they got him saying something very derogatory about black people, and they didn't put him to nowhere near the kind of scrutiny they're putting this woman through. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's why it's so scary to me, because that means that, you know, they can crucify anyone at any time, because, you know, they'll, especially now everything is digitized, and we know the government is recording everything. They're recording this broadcast right now. They're recording every phone call, email, and everything, that anybody can be crucified and thrown away at any moment, you know, if they want to do away with you. And that's just very scary to me, especially.
All right, Alex,
you know,
we're going to take a break on that one real quick. Right back.
I'm so excited. Charlie Savin barbecue sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savin barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savin barbecue sauce. The full cup of love. Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Jim, did you know that right now some retail banks around the country are allowing people to exchange ordinary paper dollars for real holding your hand silver?
What?
Yeah, I'm talking about walking into almost any ordinary bank in the U.S., then after a short and free transaction in many instances, bingo, walking out with a handful of real silver.
Banks are just handing out silver?
Yes, it's all part of a little-known loophole, although very few people know how to take advantage of it.
And anyone can try this, exchange paper dollars for silver?
Yep, you don't even need an account with the bank.
Come on, there's got to be a catch.
Nope. No accounts to open, no personal information to give out. Listen, a former professional on Wall Street recently posted a free video online showing exactly how to do it. Just go to www.retirementsilver17.com and check it out. You won't believe how easy this can be. That website, again, is retirementsilver17.com. Retirementsilver, the number 17.com. www.retirementsilver17.com.
I have a passion for the environment. That's why I mountain bike. I love being in the woods, on near vertical trails. I relish the challenge when I can appreciate the best nature has to offer. So it was only natural that I would choose a career in the elements where I can make a difference. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. We monitor commercial vessels, making sure our ports and waterways are safe and clean from oil or other hazardous material. We patrol our fisheries, protect marine wildlife and their habitats. That's all we do. It's about protecting America. This is a lot like mountain biking. It's always exciting to navigate through the next challenge.
Were you born ready to protect America, our environment, our resources, our people? Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Geraldo, first I want to begin by telling you how special what you do on the radio. You're an ambassador, not just to the Republicans. You're an ambassador between the common man and the rich powerful.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM. Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back here live again on WSOM 600 AM at 2:28 in the afternoon. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's better than Hump Day now. Oh, that's my commercial. I love that camel on the Geico commercial.
That's great. How'd they get that camel to do that?
Camels are very easily taught, you understand?
Yeah. I didn't know they walked that way.
Yeah. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Yeah, man. So anyway, afternoon with Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 with myself, Jeff, and Mark in the air chair today. We're having fun and talking to you guys about what you're talking about. And it's Friday, and we will be back again on Monday after this session is over today. We appreciate you guys being here, all my callers from around the country and locally as well. And we all have our part to say and our part to do in trying to make the dialogue in the world smaller. If we can agree on the things we can agree on, we'll be a much better nation and a much better area, et cetera, et cetera. And when we reject racism and reject preconceived notions and things like that, it's a much better chance that you're going to find something in common with that person that you never knew before or didn't even like before. So that's my say, and I'm sticking to it. All right, I got 412 out there. I got the unlisted female. I got the South Kagalagi. What you guys got to say? Come on, you got a whole half hour. And I know somebody's going to call at 5 minutes to trying to get in. So you guys better get it in.
Don't everybody speak at one time.
Hey, I'm looking at the Drudge Report over here, and it's 119 degrees in Phoenix.
Global warming.
Yeah, jeez. Oh, man, I got to go turn off my air conditioner and, you know, get me a horse.
Yeah.
You can't have a horse because they pass gas, and that's just as bad.
Oh, food. Man, you can't have a horse or a cow.
What are we supposed to do? I don't know.
Make a giant swimming pool.
I was with some people at the beginning of the week, and this gentleman is moving to Tucson. He's leaving his job here and moving to Tucson to be with his family. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm looking at this stuff over here. Now, honest to God, he said it's a dry heat. I said, don't tell me that. Hot is hot. I don't care how you see, and then I was reading an article today about sunspots. That was a scary article.
Sunspots are where you get your warming of the globe at.
Yeah.
So if the president wants to do something constructive, he needs to go and put the sun out.
He can't do that because he's cut back on our NASA program. We're going to have to hire the Russians to go put the sun out.
Go put the sun out, or go turn it down a few degrees.
Like Putin something to do.
Yeah, yeah. Putin will do that for you. Oh, my goodness. That's craziness. 773, you are in the air. Talk to me.
Hey, if you want to hear something funny, Farrakhan said he's going to put more bean pies on the street to eliminate the negativity of blacks and black-on-black crime.
He's going to do what?
He's going to put more bean pies on the street.
Bean pies.
Yeah,
have you ever tasted a bean pie?
No, I've never had a bean pie. You got to fill me in on this.
Okay. You ever taste a sweet potato pie?
Yes, sir. I love sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie is bean pie made with beans.
Oh.
It tastes wonderful.
I have a problem. I can't.
You can't do beans?
I can't do beans.
Well, beans are musical fruit. there you go.
No, I can't do beans.
It's gonna cut down the unemployment on blacks by having more blacks on the street selling newspapers and bean pies.
Well, I tell you what.
I'm joking.
They hustle those. The black Muslim, he did not really say that. Tell me he did not.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh, thanks, Chicago. I'm glad you were joking.
What's the story with this jerk up in Boston, this Hernandez? What kind of a brainiac?
That's what I just said. 40 million dollars and you still gangbang. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but it's craziness. How do you do this?
What am I missing? I mean, this guy shot this guy because he shot two other guys
2 years ago.
He shot
a year ago.
Guy in the face. A couple of months ago,
yeah.
And the police didn't arrest him.
There was no charge. The man didn't file charges.
But he took him to
civil court and sued him for $100,000. Now why would
now
you
he's gonna get diddly?
Wait, why would you go after somebody for shooting you in the face and only get $100,000?
What the heck
is that all about?
I am just amazed at what I'm seeing over here.
All of you guys are up now. You can speak if you want. You're open, but that's craziness. How do you do this? And somebody tried to lump Michael Vick into that thing. Geraldo. I don't like him.
You don't like Geraldo?
I never have liked Geraldo. Never have liked Geraldo Rivera. I just thought he's a sickening individual to me. That's my... Yes? Hello? Listen, Carl, are you talking? Yeah. You're live if you had something to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I just wanted to finish up what I was saying before. Basically, in Mr. Zimmerman's defense, he didn't know what Trayvon may have had on him, you know, even though he didn't have, you know, anything that could have harmed him. But It's just that, you know, a lot of times young black men are confrontational. And, you know, parents, you know, I mean, parents, I mean, you can talk to your kids, you can tell them, but, you know, they're going to be the way they are. And the way they are on the streets is not, you know, always the way they are around us. You know, we may know one side, but then they got the street side, too. And also, as far as profiling goes, you know, black people tend to be profiled quite frequently, I mean, depending upon the area that we're riding in. You know, so it's not to say that, you know, we can't go where we want to go, but it's not to say that we're not going to be followed or stopped either. And
I got a question to ask you.
Yes.
You sound like a very nice person. Why do you want to get me all upset on Friday and say that again? This man can walk where he wants to. He can walk where he wants to.
I'm wondering if this is a prank call or something, because
No, it's not a prank call. I'm telling you.
In what way a prank call?
I know this person for real. But I can't believe it. That's
okay.
What I said. It's Friday, and you really want to get me upset here. I have to go to work today.
It's, you know, there are two sides to every story, and you never know. How are you going to react to a situation unless you're in it? That's all.
Hey, Alex, I see the lone stranger trying to listen in, so we better behave, okay? Alex.
And,
I mean, Alex.
You know,
you're your son, Mark.
Okay.
Mark.
I called you Alex.
I
told the state of Florida did overcharge him. They should have, you know, maybe charged him with manslaughter instead of second-degree murder.
Right. Well,
no,
we're gonna forgive
it.
You.
I think they got it right.
I do too. But we're gonna forgive you anyway.
Oh,
we love you. 269.
Okay, I'm forgiven for having my own opinion. Huh?
All right. 269. You're in the air. 369.
Yeah,
269.
Why would you make me? Why would you put me on behind her? Why would you do that, man?
They're killing you.
I'd rather argue with you than to argue with that person. Man, that's absolute nuts. You know what I was thinking? Yeah, that's absolute nuts. He deserves to go to jail or the death penalty or whatever they're going to give him based off one simple thing, and that is this. What was his intentions when he got out of his car or truck? His intentions and what was on his mind when he got out of his vehicle and started to follow Trayvon? Just that.
He's allowed.
He deserves it.
Well, not that alone. The alone part was this one. Go ahead, Mark. You do that.
No, and Ted is going to be, you know, part of the issue here. Actually, people who are smarter than me were talking about this on television this morning, and that's one of the things they were talking about was what was Zimmerman's intention. I just don't know if you're going to be able to figure that out. They're just that we have certain indisputable facts here that happened, and we can't theorize what his intentions were, unless you have somebody that's willing to come out and say he went to get a gun and got out of the car and followed him.
Listen, Mark, please, man, don't enough with the bull. If you listen to the 911. These guys always get away. These guys this. He's telling you right there that what his mind state is. His mind state is to do something about these guys. Now, why do y'all want to play games?
Wait a minute. I'm not playing again, because I said this from the very beginning, that it is a matter of this for me. and that is that the man never identified himself. That's what give you what his mindset and state was. Along, coupled with the 9/11 calls from that night and the 9/11 calls from nights previous where he used racial epithets, where he said he's sick of these coons getting away with stuff, and he's sick of this, that, and the other. They always get away. Those are going to be the damning words that you see being used. Now,
Jeff, are they going to be able to get those 911 calls in?
They're in.
They're in.
Yes. The calls are in.
Yes.
What is not in is the experts saying who was screaming.
No, I'm talking about the previous ones where he was using radio.
Those are in, from what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what he's going to have to do when they put him on the stand, and he's going to have to take the stand on this. I don't think he's going to be able to get away with just saying, well, you didn't prove your case. I think the jury's going to want to hear from him. You know, and that's where the stuff's going to get asked of him. I mean,
And rightfully so. What did you mean by this? And what did you mean? Why did you do this anyway when you were said, they told you, we don't need you to do that?
Well, you know, I don't do criminal law, so I'm always kind of looking at the civil leg of it. What I don't understand is, where is this homeowners association in all of this?
Well, I mean, you only have so many people
watch.
Yeah, but only so many people watch at a time.
Yeah.
And they do it in shifts.
Sure.
But they're supposed to be, well, I don't know what their rules are.
Who's watching them? I mean, who's telling, who's trained these folks to go out and do it?
Policeman.
And who gave him the authority?
But, well, you're allowed to watch your neighborhood. There's no problem with that. But you're not allowed to arrest somebody without identifying yourself some kind of way. Citizen's arrest.
Do they have the authority to arrest anybody?
Oh, yeah, you can do a citizen's arrest. Yes, you can. But the problem is this. He never identified himself to be able to get that done. Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say that, you know, this is going on just 20 minutes up the road from me, because I'm here in Orlando, and Sanford is just like a suburb of Orlando. And that's quite common here. I mean, even in my neighborhood, I mean, we have block captains and things like that, which is good. I mean, it's a good thing, because everybody's looking out for each other, because that's the problem in some communities, where if somebody gets robbed, their home gets broken into or something, and nobody knows anything, you know. So I mean, I do think that it's a good thing, but you know, just from the calls, from the 911 calls, and from his own testimony or his report that he gave to police, his mindset was just, you know, just somewhere else, you know.
Well,
I just get a little bit concerned. I think neighborhood watch groups are great, but watch is the operative word. I mean, I don't know what authority these folks have or what they don't have. They don't have any police training. They don't know how to make an arrest. How do you know what the person you're following is carrying? You don't know. I see civil liability all over the place with this.
Well, I do too. And once again, what I say, he's not allowed to follow somebody. If he's going to say, I'm block watch, are you lost? He's totally free, okay? But he never said that.
Do they have a training
program? That's an excellent point, Jeff.
Yes, they have a training program. Police go in and train block watches. You have the policemen here in Youngstown. They go around to the block watches, and they speak to the block watch meeting, because they meet once a month or once every 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Okay, so this guy's causing problems. And again, I'm not looking at the criminal thing. I'm looking at the civil liability here, where there may be some civil liability. So the police are getting – they have a neighborhood watch. They supposedly train this guy. It's pretty clear that he's a little bit whacked, because he's making continual calls. At what point do they say, don't go do this anymore, you're not authorized to do it?
I don't know. And I don't know whether that point comes or not, whether he's been successful in the past of finding somebody or not, which doesn't have any bearing on this case. But
It does if somebody sues for money.
Well, yeah, you're right. And you know that's going to happen.
Zimmerman don't. Where's he going to get some money from?
Not him. I'm talking
about Zimmerman.
Forget Zimmerman. I'm looking at it. It's whatever. Whoever was responsible for training these guys. If this is a police sanctioned neighborhood watch and they realize after a series of calls that they have a racist bigot that might be dangerous, they would have a responsibility to go in there and tell this guy, don't do this anymore. You're not going to do it anymore. You don't represent the neighborhood watch anymore.
Can I say this one before I bring 212 in? When it comes to a situation like that, he will never be considered by other white policemen as a racist bigot. That's the problem. He won't be considered as that.
If he's making calls saying there's a coon walking around here, I mean...
We had right over here in Warren.
Common language. Right, that's common language.
Yeah. Right over in Warren.
I can assure you that's common language in Sanford, Florida. I mean, people might get mad at me, but I don't care. Because I'm from here, and I know. In Sanford, yeah. I mean, the name sounds just, you know, a place you don't want to be. Sanford, really? I'm telling you,
How far away is the little town that in the late 1800s they burned up and killed everybody on a false rape report?
That's about maybe 2 hours away. Yeah, maybe two
okay,
hours.
Okay, so that's
not,
a little
not,
bit.
Not even,
but it happened in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing
about the civil side of it, now, this neighborhood group, one, more than likely they're not incorporated. That's the first thing. Two, more than likely they are not legally or binding or sanctioned by the apartment complex in any legal way, right? There's probably no documentation that's got them in a partnership with them. So when you're talking about suing somebody civilly, who are you going to sue?
It's the homeowners
association.
I guess what I'm looking at, because I'm a civil lawyer, and I look at these sorts of things. You look for where the deep pocket is, and the deep pocket's with the city of Sanford.
City of Sanford will be named, so will Zimmerman
and if there's an executive board that's running the neighborhood association,
you
would look at the people who were the chairman.
That's going to happen.
And by the way, don't knock Sanford. Sanford's a nice town. The auto train drops me off there when I take the auto train to Florida. And when you fly from Youngstown to Florida, you go to Sanford.
That's right. 212, you're in the air.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Jeff.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Had a bad connection. I think Mark and you are on the right track. When I first heard this, I said, number one, this guy better have a badge, and not the kind you get at the Kmart. I mean a policeman's badge to be going around doing quasi-law enforcement. He doesn't have a badge. Problem number one for him. And you could check this on. I'm pretty sure they settled the civil case already. They brought a case against the homeowners. You know, your homeowner's coverage might get stuck for that if you're negligently putting somebody out there to represent you without the training. And even if a city gets involved putting these block watches out and some idiot does that. But I think, you know, a big strike one and two, that this guy was without a badge and he has a gun and he's trying to play policeman. And I'm on case laws in that state, or maybe this is going to be new case. When you set in motion by doing foolish things, you may lose your rights when it comes to this self-defense statute they have or whatever. I mean, the civil law is painted all over. I mean, Mark's right on that. I'm pretty sure they did it. But, I mean, from the whole thing, I would just start off like, I just can't believe a guy that is a law enforcement officer is going around a neighborhood with a gun and playing policeman, and then he kills somebody. I mean, you're is up against the wall when you go in there. I would like to be the prosecutor trying that case. And then you chatter on the tape and everything. And I think there's going to be some points of law they're going to argue that he may lose certain rights to certain self-defense because he was in a statute or, you know. It could be.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just say this. I think this guy. Yeah, I've said it many times, but just a former prosecutor, former defense lawyer, right out of the box, he's running around with a toy badge and a gun, and then he kills somebody. I mean, end of story. End of story for me. Anyway, thanks. Have a nice week.
All right, Mark. You have a good one. God bless. And
Can I clarify something real quick, Jeff?
Sure. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you, when you fly from Youngstown down here, you are not flying into Samford. You're flying into what's called Lake Mary. Lake Mary is another town adjacent to Samford, but they share the same name, Lake Mary, Samford Airport. Now, Lake Mary is a very nice area, but you'd have to go a little bit further north on either the 417 or I-4 before you get into Samford. So just so you know, it's not technically Samford when you fly into that airport, but that's all I want to say.
I don't fly. I take the auto train down there. They put my train on the thing, and they take it down there. We get to Sanford, Florida. And
what's the auto train?
Well, you drive to Lorton, Virginia, and then they got these carrier cars. They drive your car onto the carrier car, and then you take the train down. You stay the night on the train. Leaves Lorton, Virginia about 4 in the afternoon, gets into Sanford 9 or 10 o'clock the following morning. And then they unload your car, to get in your car, to drive to wherever you want to go.
4 in the afternoon?
Yeah. You leave Lorton, Virginia at 4 in the afternoon.
And you get there 9 in the morning.
Right.
So that's better than driving it.
Well, yeah. If you don't, I don't like to drive, and I don't like to fly. So there's the compromise for me.
And this is in Virginia?
Well, it's Amtrak runs it, but it goes from Lorton, Virginia to Sanford, Florida.
Lorton, Virginia.
For years.
Is that by D.C.?
Yeah, it's just south of Alexandria.
Okay, and how much money does it cost to ride that train?
It's relatively inexpensive.
$400?
Yeah, but you don't have to rent a car. It's not $400 each. I mean, my wife and I could probably get down there round trip for $400 or $500.
That's what I'm saying. That's your gas.
And you have your car when you get there. You don't have to rent a car.
Well, $400 or $500 is your gas.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, let's face it. That's how much you'll spend in any type of a midsize or big car.
I can tell you the tracks aren't real good. I mean, it's a little bit rocky.
Wow. I'm not a train person. I was on a good train. I went from D.C. to New York, excuse me, to D.C.
Yeah.
On the train one time, and it was something else. No reclining, nothing. And those big leather seats, they were nice if you could sit up for that long. But my goodness, I wasn't happy about that at all.
Yeah. Well, we take the train from Pittsburgh to New York, and we'll take the train from Virginia down to Florida. I don't like to fly. Although I haven't done the airplane from Youngstown to.
Yeah, because I understand that that's like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. And my daughter went to Orlando with the Youngstown connection.
Yeah.
And they flew out from Allegiant Airline.
Yeah.
And they said it was nice, a nice flight, you know, down and back.
I think next time we go, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather do that and spend a couple hours, in 3 hours, you know, get to the airport and flying in and driving away.
Yeah, we'd go to Fort Lauderdale down there, and it was about a 3 or 4 hour drive from there down to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Afterwards, and it's better to do it on a plane than it is to.
Yeah,
you drive to Washington, get on the train, you're on the train all night, you get there 4 hours beyond.
Yeah, because you're still 5 hours going to D.C. or whatever and then back. So that's what it is. But anyway, callers, you are all that are standing on the line, you are all there, so you can say something at any time. But Something's going wrong, Michigan, because for 2 days in a row, we kind of agreed on a couple things.
Uh-oh.
Well,
so does that mean
I told you you're a closet black nationalist. everything, all of it is in place. You got one issue we got to deal with, and then you should be okay. But
if you come into Chicago and you're out of town, or just stay up on the north side, don't go to the southwest, west side, east side, don't go there either, because the crime is absolutely ridiculous. None of the black organizations, Farrakhan's not doing nothing. Jesse Jackson is in Chicago. He's not doing anything.
What do you want me to do about it? Are you homophobic?
Chicago. You can't put that responsibility on Farrakhan.
Then they need to be dismantled. But what is the organization for?
No. Those are businesses, and those men are entrepreneurs. And they're making money.
You exactly right. Then
they have a right to be entrepreneurs.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
And make money.
Well, here's the thing. I understand all of that, but here's the thing. Don't come to my neighborhood with, the charge of racism against Hootie Boo, who said. How should I say it? Any old thing, and have Jesse, if somebody's a homosexual, well, he's homophobic. I can't stand to hear him say that, really. I mean, that really bothers me. And, they can always say these encouraging words for saying, I know that at one time, he and Al Sharpton really wanted to do something to help. I listened to their words. I heard them. But somewhere along the way, the Jesse Jackson's big thing, he was about self-reliance. So was Al Sharpton. Now they're both peddling government checks for everybody.
Well, Jeff, remember, whenever you're talking about a social, most social, they start out as a social movement, right? If they're not about liberation, if they're about liberation, true liberation, they usually get dismantled. Remember that.
And that's what happens.
They normally get dismantled. Now, if it's not about true liberation and maybe just like integration, what happens is it turns into a business, and then it turns into a racket. And
understood.
That's what all of them are. Yep, that's what all of them are. Rainbow Push, NAACP, Urban League, Nation of Islam, they're rackets.
Well, let's put it like this. I don't disagree with you. And hold on.
330-781-9600.
Sorry about that. We have to take it that way. The whole situation is this. You have nothing going on the liberation front. Everything is cry to the government. Everything is, you don't want to be self-supportive. You want a government function to help you. Now, there's people that need government help, and I'm not against that. But you can't tell me that everybody in this country needs to be caught up in a healthcare system now that is not going to work for anybody that's in it. The elite are going to get their healthcare because they're going to be able to afford it. And everybody else will get crumbs from the table, and they're going to have to fight and hope that they get chosen to have the operation, that they get chosen to have all these other things. And we voted for it in record numbers. I'm telling you, you made a mistake. You're getting ready to have your things taken up right now that's going to be totally too much for us to handle with if we start trying to bring the temperature down 0.8 degrees. That's the most foolish thing I ever heard. One sunspot and it's over.
That's right.
Now the Pritzker family is running the White House now. It's not the other ones. It's the Pritzker family, which donated a lot of money to Barack Obama's
campaign. I got you. But I got to go, man. Thank you for calling the callers online. Trace will be back Monday. We'll see you Monday morning. Same time, same bat station, WSOM 600 AM. Tracy and friends, see ya!
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Do you depend on
like
your...
Like to him that Martin was straddling and punching Zimmerman. New England Patriots former star Aaron Hernandez's alleged accomplice, caught in Miramar, Florida, Hernandez is charged with murdering a friend, and he's also being investigated in connection with the double homicide in Boston. President Obama is now in South Africa.
Air Force One has touched down here for a weekend visit to South Africa that turns bittersweet. Crowds have been singing outside the small hospital where the country's first black president, Nelson Mandela, lies close to death. President Obama said en route here he doesn't need a photo op, but he does intend to make his message at youth events and an address to the African continent a tribute in praise to Mandela's legacy. Ann Compton, ABC News, Johannesburg.
Still no sign of Edward Snowden, but State Department spokesman Patrick Ventrell says countries are being warned not to harbor the NSA leaker.
We're advising governments that Mr. Snowden is wanted on felony charges and should not be allowed to proceed any further other than necessary to return to the United States.
Snowden is believed to still be hiding out at the airport in Moscow. Going to bed late and not getting enough sleep, that may be why you're packing on the pounds, according to a new study led by Andrea Spaff.
The period from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m. when they were kept awake, the subjects consumed over 500 calories on average. What else was interesting was that the calories consumed late at night were higher in fat.
She says subjects who stayed up late gained an average 2.5 pounds. This is ABC News.
Hey, folks, Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 10 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 10 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 10 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 10 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 10 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 10 years, one entire decade, till the year 2023. Today's super low initial rate on our Amazing 10 Mortgage is all the way down to 2.99%, APR 3.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com. The Amazing 10 Mortgage, one more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Is it too early to start shopping for school supplies? Now may be the best time to do it if you want a real deal, as we hear from ABC's Richard Davies.
If you're thinking about buying a new computer,
this summer is actually a really great time to buy a laptop.
Lindsay Secreta of Deal News says deep discounts are expected on last year's model.